look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that now, again, as we look at this part of your word, you will give us ears that are ready to hear, that you will help us to heed what Jesus has to say to us, and as a result, stick with him in your kingdom. Amen. I think probably one of the saddest things that I've found in my life as a Christian is seeing people, seeing friends, turn their backs on Jesus. And yet it happens. Most of us will likely experience it at one time or another. I remember when I was in early high school, there was a guy about 10 years older than me who I really looked up to a lot. And when I discovered a few years ago that he had turned his back on Jesus and on his wife and on his kids, I was devastated, as I'm sure you can understand. It happens. People turn their backs on Jesus, sometimes in dramatic ways like that, sometimes in gradual ways, but it happens. And today, in the parable of the sower that we've just read, Jesus teaches us about this reality. But he's not just telling us this so that, I guess, we understand that these things happen or we understand what is happening. He's also telling us this as a warning for us, for our own good, so that we can make sure that it doesn't happen to us. Jesus wants us to hear and to heed the warning. This parable of the sower, or I guess probably you could better call it the parable of the soils, is probably one of the best known, don't you think, or if not the best known of Jesus' parables. I suspect that most of us here will at least be somewhat familiar with this parable and the four soils that Jesus describes. It's pretty straightforward, and unlike a lot of the parables, Jesus actually explains it for us. Because of this, one person has said that this parable requires application, not explanation. And so we're going to spend a fair bit of time on that a bit later on. But there is also a bigger picture thing going on here that we need to look at first, something that affects how we listen to all of Jesus' parables. And in fact, this parable itself is a parable about listening to Jesus. So not only does Jesus tell us to listen to this parable, listen, he says at the beginning and throughout, he says listen, the parable itself is about listening. 13 times we hear the word listen, listen or hear. And as Jesus explains the parable, each of the soils are different kinds of hearers. There are the hearers where the word is snatched away. There are the hearers with no root that wither quickly. There are the hearers among weeds that is choked. And there are the hearers who accept the word and bear fruit. And then after that, in verse 24, Jesus says, so consider carefully how you hear. Not just this parable, but all of Jesus' teaching, the gospel that Jesus speaks. Consider carefully what you hear. This is a parable about listening to Jesus. And so it affects all the parables that Jesus tells, which is why he says in verse 13, have a look at verse 13, he says, how will you understand any parable if you don't understand this one? It's like Jesus is saying here, saying, listen, listen, listen. Let me tell you about some different ways that people can listen. There are four of them, and only one of them is good. So be careful how you listen. That's what he's saying here. This parable of the soils is the flagship parable in Jesus' teaching. It sets the tone for how we need to listen to Jesus. Jesus wants us to listen, to hear, and to take what he says to heart. Which kind of makes that bit in the middle of the parable there a bit surprising, doesn't it? Did you see that bit in the middle where Jesus says why he speaks in parables? He says that he speaks in parables so that people won't really hear. But they'll hear, but they won't understand. That's kind of the opposite of what we think he should say at this point, isn't it? We think that he's going to say that he speaks in parables so that it helps us to understand complicated ideas, you know, putting things in everyday language for us. But he doesn't say that. He says the opposite. He says that he speaks in parables so that people will not understand. His parables create a barrier deliberately. Let me read again verses 11 and 12. He says to his disciples, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Jesus says things in parables, he says, so that people will not understand. It sounds like Jesus doesn't want people to hear what he's saying. He doesn't want people to understand what he's saying, doesn't it? And yet we know that he does. And we see that in the next parable, in the lamp on the stand. He says, "A lamp doesn't come, I haven't come, to be put under a bowl and hidden and concealed." Jesus didn't come to be hidden. He came to be revealed, to be made known. But there is still a certain reserve about how Jesus makes himself understood. And the reason he does this is because people need to come to him to receive the secret of the kingdom of God. Because being part of the kingdom of God is not a theory or a philosophy that we need to understand or decode so that we can kind of grab hold of it. It's about a person, Jesus. It's about trusting him and following him and listening to him. And so the line that Jesus draws is not between people who understand and those who don't. It's between people who come to him and those who don't. That's what we see in verse 11. You see where his disciples, he says to his disciples in verse 11 that they have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And yet, the funny thing is, in verse 10, we've just seen that they don't understand themselves. "You've been given the secret of the kingdom of God." "I don't understand what he's talking about. Do you understand?" They don't understand either. His disciples don't have some special understanding that other people don't have. The difference is not their understanding. The difference is that they recognized that they needed to listen to Jesus and to follow him. Because he's the one who brings the kingdom of God. And so they followed him and they asked him, "Hey, what are you talking about in these parables, Jesus?" And so the parables, Jesus says, they help make a distinction between people. There's those who follow Jesus, who come to him. And there's those on the outside, as they're described in verse 11, who don't follow him. And last week we heard about those people on the outside. They saw the same miraculous powers that were at work in Jesus. They heard the same teaching that Jesus was doing as everyone else heard, as the disciples heard. They saw the obvious goodness of Jesus, the obvious godness of Jesus. But they said no. They rejected Jesus. And so Jesus says, for those people, the parables provide a barrier to confirm them in their rejection of Jesus. The secret of the kingdom of God is found in Jesus. But we know, as we've been reading Mark, that not everyone accepts that. And so the parables become a judgment on those people who don't accept Jesus, because it enables them to stay at a distance and go, "Yeah, whatever, Jesus." And so it confirms them in their rejection of him. And as they reject Jesus, they are walking away from the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says he's teaching in parables to differentiate between those who stand on the outside at a distance and those who come and follow him and say, "Tell us more about this, Jesus." And so for us, as we hear this, it's telling us that if we want anything to do with God's heavenly kingdom, then we need to come and listen to Jesus. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to him trusting that he is the secret to the kingdom of God. And in the context of this parable he's teaching here, the parable of the sower, it will mean listening to him, trusting and taking seriously the warnings that are involved in this parable. So let's now have a look at the different soils that Jesus mentions here. First soil, scattered on the footpath, birds coming either way, Satan taking the word away before it even takes any root. We might be tempted to think that this first soil is only talking about people who would, you know, never darken the doorway of a church. But it's not just them. It will also include those who do sit in church each week. It says these are people who hear the word, but for whatever reason, the message just rolls off them like water off a duck's back. Now, that could be any number of people for any different kinds of reasons, but in my experience, the people that most commonly make up this group are those who, whether they sit in church each week or not, it's those who are unwilling to accept the reality of sin. Unwilling to accept the reality of sin. They may accept the idea that sin and evil exist somewhere, in some people, but not a universal reality of sin. And certainly not their own sin that puts them fundamentally at odds with God, cut off from him and unable to dig themselves out of it. This way of thinking, this unwillingness to accept the reality of sin, is like an enamel coating on the soul. The word of God just bounces off, giving the devil easy pickings to snatch away the word. In the 18th century, the Duchess of Buckingham once said this in response to the preaching of John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher. She said, "It is monstrous to be told that you have a heart as sinful as the common wretches that crawl on the earth." And that mindset is common still today, isn't it? Even in people who sit in church each week. The first soil, it just bounces off. They don't hear it. So the second soil, rocky, shallow, doesn't last. I don't know about you, but when I read Jesus' explanation of this second soil, there's something that really stands out to me as Jesus describes it. And I find it surprising, to be honest. It's there in verse 16. It says, "They hear the word and receive it with joy." This is talking about people who end up rejecting Jesus. Have a look, verse 16. "Others, like seeds sown in rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy." They receive the message of Jesus with joy. Isn't that the kind of response that we want to have to the gospel message? To recognize the goodness of that message and receive it with joy? And yet Jesus says this about people who don't stick with it. And there is so much that should fill us with joy about the gospel message. The forgiveness that we have in Jesus, no matter what you've done. Knowing that God loves you and that you don't have to try to impress him. The eternal life with God. The community, the love and care and fellowship that can be found in God's among God's people. And that's just to name some of the things that should get us excited about the message of Jesus. And can I say that if you're not someone who has put your trust in Jesus, then come and take a look. The gospel of Jesus really is good news, full of joy for those who come to him. And yet, Jesus is making a point here. He says this initial response of enthusiasm and joy is not enough. In this second soil, it's not a true and lasting response to the gospel. Because the Christian life does bring hardship as well. And so we need to be well grounded, so that we can be prepared for that. A true response to the gospel is one that puts down roots, deep roots, to support and to nourish it when the sun gets hot. And so Jesus' words to us, if we're going to hear and make sure that we're not this second soil, Jesus' words to us is, put down roots. Put down roots. Jesus wants us to be, you know, like Job in the Old Testament. His confidence in the goodness of God, it ran so deep that it stood the test of trial and hardship. That's what God wants us to be like. Confidence in the goodness of God that stands the test of trial and hardship. Not people whose trust in Jesus and whose knowledge of his love for them is thin and easily overcome, blown away, withered by some other experience, some bad experience. We need to be rooted and established in the knowledge of God's love for us in Jesus. Constantly trying to grasp all the more. In the words of Ephesians 3, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And you know, the best time to be prepared for persecution and trouble is before it happens, right? That might sound kind of obvious, but it's advice that often goes ignored. It's like preparing for the bushfire. You know, you don't start preparing for the bushfire when the flames are, you know, melting the paint on your front door. Last year, so many homes were lost in those bushfires in the Blue Mountains, weren't they? And then all through the summer following that, there were those ads on TV warning people to get their bushfire plan organised now, before the trouble starts. Can I say this is one of the many reasons, why we put such a high priority on being in a growth group? Because that's one of the best places to be putting down roots, soaking ourselves in God's word, in prayer and in fellowship together, mulling it over, letting it fill us, talking through the implications of what we've read, putting down roots. Don't be the second soil. And the key to that is to be well grounded in God's love for us in Jesus. Consider carefully what you hear, Jesus says. The third soil, where the thorns and weeds choke the word out of their lives. One of the big dangers, I think, in this scenario is that it's slow and often subtle. The weeds grow up slowly, so you don't notice them until they've already taken hold. You know, people don't tend to get, you know, jumped on and surprise attacked by plants very much, do they? You know, hiding in a dark alley, except maybe in science fiction movies. Getting choked by things that grow up around you, it can take time. And so listening to Jesus at this point means paying attention to what's going on around you and to what you're doing. Being on the lookout for any potential weeds that are growing up around us. Getting ready to weed out of our lives things that are not helpful for us. So what I want to do here is have a look at the weeds that Jesus describes here in this third soil. He mentions three things. He mentions the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. So the worries of this life. In some ways, the worries of this life is really just what's common to all of us. The pressures of the hustle and bustle of life, the things that distract our attention and time and concerns, work, study, family, stuff. But in the case of the third soil, these things take over. Jesus knows that life is filled with difficulties and pressures, and yet he calls us to come to him in the midst of that. He tells us to seek first his kingdom. I think the worries of this life that Jesus mentions here probably fits with it. It's probably a summary of what he says in another parable, in the parable of the great banquet. You familiar with the parable of the great banquet? It's in Luke 14. A king sends out his invitations to invite people to this great banquet that he has prepared. But when the time comes for the people who are invited to the banquet, life gets in the way and it stops them from coming. And one person says, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it, please excuse me. Or I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out, please excuse me. I just got married so I can't come. Yeah, all perfectly reasonable things to be doing. But in the end, for the people in the parable, they were the things that kept them out of the kingdom of God. What perfectly reasonable things have the potential to keep us out of the kingdom of God? Yeah, I've known people who have fallen away for no particularly significant reason, except that life just got in the way. It simply took over. Uni got busy. The kids were a handful. I've just got too much on my plate right now. Let's not let that be us. Well, the next weed that Jesus mentions is the deceitfulness of wealth. It's such a vivid and accurate, I think, way of describing it, isn't it? Not just the allure of wealth or the love of wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth is like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, you know, attracting people away from God, not just with something good, but with lies. Wealth promises much, but in the end, it's deceptive. And like the lies of that ancient serpent in the Garden of Eden, it has so much appeal because of the half-truths that it whispers. Material things are part of the goodness of God's good creation, but it always promises more than it can deliver. And it focuses our attention on the now, and it makes me think that what I can hold in my hands, well, that's all there is. And that's all I should be longing for. And even then, it's never satisfied. And look at all the good things that wealth can give you. But if you had just a little bit more. The deceptiveness of wealth is like, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's always over the next hill. And so as we chase over each hill looking for it, it takes you further and further away from the kingdom of God. as it chokes the word out of your life. That's why Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. The last of the three weeds that Jesus mentions in the third soil shows us that it's not just wealth, but that anything can become the object of our love and desire, and so draw us away from love for Christ. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as our desire for something grows, that becomes the object of our love. It's what we value and what we long for and find our joy and our hope in and our happiness in. Instead of finding all those things in God and in what he has done for us in Jesus. And pretty soon what we believe about Jesus ends up being disconnected from what we really love. And what we believe is reduced to just a few, you know, tick boxes on a piece of paper. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. But it's not grounded in what we hope for and what we long for, what we love. And it's only a short step from there to finding reasons to not believe. And sadly, I've seen plenty of times where that piece of paper with the ticked boxes of what I believe just gets scrunched up and thrown away. It's the guy who spent 10 years looking for and finding his self-worth and his significance and his sense of achievement in his career. It's the girl who spent her early 20s travelling the world, trying to get those once-in-a-lifetime experiences before it was too late. But along the way, she left Jesus behind in an airport somewhere. It's the 15-year-old who loved hanging out with his friends and all they did together, to the point where living for Jesus just didn't really seem to fit anymore. It won't necessarily create a crisis, you know, where we're at a crossroads, where we're forced to choose between Jesus and something else, whether it's money or other things. More likely, the people of the third soil will be miles down that path already before they realise that it's choking the word out of their life. Well, as I said at the beginning, this parable to a degree simply describes the way things are. This is how different people respond to the gospel. People respond in different ways. And these first three soils ring true for us even today. But Jesus is not just telling us this so we go, yeah, Jesus was right. He's telling us as a warning. This parable is supposed to produce a response in us, which is why after telling us about all these different kinds of hearers, after telling us he's not come to be hidden but to be made known, he says, so consider carefully, in verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. And I guess that's really the key to being the fourth soil. It's about hearing and heeding the warnings of the first three soils. As we saw at the beginning, the key to really hearing Jesus, the hearing that makes a difference, the hearing with understanding, the hearing that lasts, is simply listening to Jesus and taking that to heart. Listen with the ears that trust what Jesus is saying here, the truth of it, the seriousness of it. Listen to the warnings that Jesus gives us. Let the word of the gospel soak in and put down deep roots. Clear away the weeds. Don't let anything choke that word out of you. And can I just finish by saying, as much as I've seen examples of the other three soils, I've also seen examples amongst us here of people who are heeding this kind of instruction from Jesus, who are putting down roots, who are clearing away the weeds and growing and producing fruit. Let's pray that this will be the case all the more for all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can know that Jesus is the one worth listening to. And we pray today that each of us will listen with open ears that are ready to heed what Jesus has to say to us. That we will hear the warnings that he has to say to us. That we will take the action that this requires. And that you will, by your Spirit, be producing the fruit in us that is characteristic of that fourth soil. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.